Well, whether you love him or loathe him, the spectre of Clive Palmer has loomed large in this state, hasn't it, for a number of reasons over the last 18 months. Fair to say it began with his bid to tear down the state government's position on hard borders in a High Court challenge that the federal government first supported and then backflipped on. Mr. Palmer fought and lost against the McGowan government, but what ensued was a war of words between the billionaire and WA's premier. It's also fair to say that during that very public slanging match, Clive Palmer was pilloried in most of the media coverage and quickly became public enemy number one, some sort of odious figure that Mark McGowan was happy to exploit and use to set up the Big Bad Wolf syndrome and sort of reinforce, if you like, the barbarians at the gate image that suited his side of politics. Now, that nasty spat is, in fact, continuing because Clive Palmer is still engaged in a defamation suit against Mark McGowan. On top of that, there was the special legislation, of course, that was rushed through state parliament designed to prevent Mr. Palmer from suing the state for preventing his company, Mineralogy, from mining, from developing their site all those years ago. And now there's another looming legal action with the businessman threatening to sue the government over its vaccination rollout. In a letter to Chief Health Officer Andy Robertson, Mr. Palmer promises to fund a class action that would seek an injunction and damages if West Australians were coerced or incentivised to get vaccinated. He joins us now. Clive Palmer, good morning to you.
Good morning, Liam. How are you?
Clive, I'm well. Thanks very much for sparing some time for us. You've well and truly been painted as the bogeyman in this state. Do you deserve that reputation?
Well, I don't think I do, but without going into all those things, I think the vaccination issue is a separate one. It doesn't so much involve me against the state or any commercial issues. It really centres around the truth. It centres around really that Mr. Fauci in the States, instead of the Centre for Disease Control, released a statement. His director released a statement last week saying that they've been testing people in Massachusetts, and 70% of the, about 433 people had COVID, but 70% of those people were people that had the double jab. And they sort of concluded then that the vaccine doesn't stop you from getting the virus and it doesn't stop you from passing it on. So the idea that you can vaccinate 70% or 80% of the community, as Morrison says, it'll make a difference, doesn't seem to be right. And it doesn't sort of justify the lockdowns we're seeing around Australia. And that really comes from the United States. Also in Israel, they've just given statements out saying the same thing, that in their hospitalisation in Israel at the moment, 70% of people are people that have had the double jab, and 30% are unvaccinated people. In the United Kingdom, the chief health officer there for the UK has confirmed that 40% of people in UK hospitals with COVID have been vaccinated. So that does put a question of whether this vaccine does provide you with any sort of protection from getting the virus and does stop you from passing on. And the data and the statements from those authorities overseas says clearly it doesn't.
But Clive, that's never been really in doubt, has it? I mean, right from the start, we've heard from some of the world's top scientists that getting the vaccination doesn't stop you from getting it, but it lessens the severity. You don't end up in ICU.
Well, they say that, but there's no data that I've seen that supported that at all. But the whole concept of public health is to make sure that something that you do doesn't affect your neighbour. So if you got the vaccine and meant you couldn't pass it on, or that you wouldn't catch it, I guess it meant you couldn't pass it on, really. You wouldn't affect your neighbour. Whether or not you personally want to have the vaccine for your own protection or for a treatment, that should really be an individual decision. It doesn't affect your neighbour. So all we're saying here, really, is that the governments are pretending that if we get 70% vaccinated, we won't have any problems. And, of course, that's just not true.
Well, the Doherty Institute has said we'll still have deaths. There's no doubt about that. They say if we have 80% vaccination rates nationally, we'll have a maximum of 1,284 deaths. So they're not saying there's no problem. But look, you've paid for ads in newspapers with your money in recent weeks that state very clearly, the headline is, lockdowns destroyed jobs, Which is hard it's hard to argue with that. But are you anti-lockdown and anti-vaccine? Because that seems to be a contradiction.
Yeah, well, I'm certainly anti-lockdown. In the situation, I think I'm concerned about the increased number of suicides. In Australia, for example, last year we had 1,600 more suicides than we had the year before. And in Western Australia in particular, during the closure of borders and things like that, you were getting about 6 suicides every week. I'm concerned about that, the mental health problems, the destruction of businesses, the loss of livelihood and jobs. All those things are very serious issues. Now, if you look at the total number of deaths this year from the coronavirus, alleged deaths, is 15. That's hardly a pandemic. It's less than 1 week's road toll in Australia. So a pandemic normally comes with a lot of deaths and a lot of dying. That hasn't happened in Australia. We don't have that. Yet we do have a lot of devastation. We do have a lot of deaths in suicides. And we do have a lot of people's lives that are being destroyed and marriages that are breaking up. So I think in public policy and government, we have to make a balance and a decision on what the real risk is to our society.
Well, on that subject, public policy, the Premier here in WA says your position on this is very disturbing, it's wrong, it's irresponsible. I just want to play you very quickly something he said on the floor of the House the day before yesterday when he was talking about your public comments and all your advertising on this and the money that you're spending. Here's Mark McGowan.
It was shocking, appalling, disturbing, and disgusting that Mr. Palmer would do that. It shows an appalling degree of ignorance on his behalf, and it is an appalling misuse of his wealth.
What do you think of that, Clive?
I think it's appalling. I mean, we live in a democracy. I would defend Mark McGowan's right to say anything in this democracy. He thinks he's got a valid right to say so, and he should respect my points of view. As Australians, we don't always agree on everything, but we want to have a healthy democracy, not where we just hear one message all the time, where there's censorship imposed, which there is in the media at the moment, where the federal government said, if they take ads from me that are contrary to the government's position, they'll remove all government advertising from the papers. That's coercion, and that's against the Australian Constitution, the applied right of political free speech. We don't want to give up all our values of free speech and debate about issues by scare tactics. And that's what's happening at the moment in Australia. Now, whether I'm right or I'm wrong, I should have the right to express an opinion. And Mark McGowan should be able to counter that opinion, not by calling me names or saying bad things about me, but by dealing with the facts and proving that I'm wrong. But he doesn't do that. He rushes to Parliament. He won't say anything outside of Parliament because he's scared stiff. He won't actually enter into the debate. We wouldn't have to worry about what he said. He'd just point out where I'm factually wrong. I've quoted for you this morning the Center of Disease Control in the United States, their findings, the Israeli government, and which has got 80% of people now currently vaccinated in Israel, but of course they've got a major COVID problem over there, and also the United Kingdom. Now, he should counter those issues, not run away from the challenge.
But when you talk about data, for example, you know, you say that there's no data around to support people being vaccinated, not ending up dying. I mean, in New South Wales at the moment, as you know, that lockdown there is terrible. Another 340 odd today new cases. At the moment, they have 62 people in intensive care. Now, of those 62 people, 57 of them were not vaccinated, and the other 5 had only had one jab. So there's not one single person in ICU, despite all those numbers, Clive, over the last few weeks. Not one person in ICU who's been fully vaccinated. Surely that's proof.
I would doubt those figures are reliable. In Queensland for the moment, they've got a couple of, may not be 100 or so, children who have got a sniffle in hospital to add up to hospitalisations. I can only look at what, you know, valid data from the Centre of Disease Control, which is Mr. Fauci's group, which is the greatest supporter of vaccinations in the world. He's even come out and said that. But look, you know, there are two different issues here. It's not for me to prove anything. It's for the pharmaceuticals companies to prove that their vaccines are safe and they're effective. And of course, we have a very good system in Australia. It's normally a 7 to 10 year process to get your approval. But in this vaccine, there's no 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 5 year safety data, which is normally required. There's no efficacy studies done in the country. and there's been no studies in pregnant women or children. Yet we want to go out and abandon that very strong system, which has been very good for our previous vaccines like chickenpox, polio, which have all been very successful following that procedure. And what do we see? We see John Skerritt from the TGA on television promoting a vaccine, yet he's the regulator. All of these things are extraordinary events.
But that's a public health message, isn't it? And as you say, they are extraordinary because this situation was extraordinary from day one. Surely extraordinary measures are needed for extraordinary deaths and destruction. I mean, the numbers from overseas...
That's just not right. That's the numbers in Australia I'm concerned about. There were more people died of the common cold in 2018 than died of coronavirus last year. That's the reality of it. But if you take the cold figure for deaths and the coronavirus, they amount to about the same as the year before.
But Clive, doesn't that have a lot to do with the measures that were taken in terms of hygiene and social distancing?
I think that might have helped in relation to the colds. But the reality is the death risk for a person getting COVID in Australia today, the chance that they'll recover is 99.98%. So it's a very minor thing. But there's been over 100,000 deaths in Australia this year from a whole lot of things. Now, while we've been concentrating on the COVID situation, we've seen people not being able to get treatments for cancer for a whole range of different things, which have caused their death because our public facilities have been switched all one way. Yet the number of deaths that have taken place just don't justify it. As I said, 15 deaths from COVID, most of them in people over the age of 80. And there's no risk at all, the data says, for children and for people under 30, yet they're all being vaccinated with a vaccine that hasn't been proven, hasn't followed the normal procedures. And the government signed an agreement with Pfizer and with AstraZeneca to say that they fully indemnify them if their vaccines cause any death or injuries to Australians.
The
pharmaceutical companies weren't happy with it being released unless they got that indemnity.
Clive, have you had vaccinations in the past?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Okay, so you're not an anti-vaxxer.
I'm not anti-vaxxer generally. My main issue is we've got a very good system in Australia, or we did have, for approving vaccinations. And this vaccine should be no different. It's not really a vaccine anyway, but it's a gene therapy. It doesn't deal with antibody responses. But this should be no different going through the procedures than anything else. We shouldn't make shortcuts with people's lives, and we should overreact to what's happening in our economy.
But what do we do in the meantime? Because you don't like lockdowns, so what do we do in the meantime? I mean, if we don't follow the vaccination rollout as it's happened overseas, I'm struggling to see what the option, what the alternative is. Are you saying that some of the world's leading scientific minds are not to be believed or trusted?
Oh no, they are. If you have a look at the international data, you'll see there's a different story overseas than is being allowed to be debated and discussed in Australia. There's a diversity of opinion on what's happened. For example, there's one particular professor who believes that most of the community is immune in any event because they've caught colds and things in the past, which have been coronaviruses, and that this current alleged virus is made up of parts of the same structure, if you like. So once you eliminate that structure, the virus can't survive. That's one view. I don't hear that view in Australia. But if you look at the figures in the United States, where 70% of people who have had the jab tested positively in Massachusetts, and only 30% of unvaccinated did, the explanation for that, they say, is because there's a natural immunity with people for coronaviruses generally.
Well, in terms of having your say and your opinion, and you're a former member of the House of Reps, you spent a lot of money on the federal election last year, on putting forward those ideas into the public arena. Are you planning, can I ask you, are you planning on fielding any candidates in the federal election next year?
Oh, well, our party will make an announcement, I think, before the end of August on what we'll be doing. But I say you have to wait for that. I can't give you all the news in one day. But I think it's a democratic right of Australians to stand for elections, to have debates. And while we mightn't always agree with each other, we should all be respectful of each other protect and realise that all of us are doing the best we can. I've got no ill will towards Mark McGowan personally, and I think he's done a good job for what challenges he's been faced with and for the advice and information he's had. I've got no animosity against him whatsoever, but I think it's not a personal issue. We should be able to deal with things based on their merits.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with your point on respect. Does that mean that you won't follow through with your threat to sue the state government and the chief health officer?
It doesn't mean that. It means it's a question of them, you know, not concealing from Australians and from the Western Australians in particular what the true situation is. I mean, most Western Australians don't know that the government, the federal government, Scott Morrison, has given a complete indemnity so that if they're maimed or hurt by the vaccines, that they can't sue the companies. They don't know that in that agreement that other treatments for the virus are not allowed to be introduced into Australia. And yet if we have a look at Africa and places like that, we see that the amount of deaths from coronavirus is greatly reduced because they're dealing with other treatments such as, you know, vitamin C, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. They've all been introduced into their system and they've had no vaccines, but their death rates are much lower.
Well, I can tell you where I'd rather live, here in Western Australia. I wouldn't be going rushing off to Africa.
That's true. And Western Australians should have a better healthcare system than they've got in Africa. That's why it's indicating that those treatments are very effective. And certainly the United States and Europe have got, we would think, a better healthcare system, yet the death situation is totally different.
Clive,
when you look at Africa, those countries that couldn't afford vaccines.
You're a very successful businessman who likes to travel, sometimes has to travel with business. Have you been vaccinated?
Yeah. Well, I won't say what my position is, right? Because it's, you know, everyone's medical record should be kept as a private thing, and it shouldn't be an issue for public debate about individual health. An individual person's medical health should be between him and his doctor.
But this is central to your argument, isn't it?
It's not central to my argument, my personal life, what conditions I suffer of. Yeah, it's certainly a way of avoiding the argument. The argument really is based on the objective analysis of the data that's out there.
No, I hear what you're saying, but I'm asking you if you accept a vaccine that you've been railing against for your own personal edification. I mean, do you think it's safe to take for your own body, regardless of your personal medical conditions?
Well, you know, I think it's important that each individual has the right to say that. And I wouldn't send the debate over about any individual personally. This is really a debate about what's best for Western Australia. And I've stated my position so people can assume what my position would be personally. But that's up to me. I'll never discuss my own health records publicly.
I mean, let's put it another way. If you have to have the vaccination in terms of having a vaccination passport, so-called, to travel for business, would that be enough for you to have to have it?
I think, you know, that I wouldn't change my views for any amount of money or anything for it when I thought my health was the most important thing. Money's certainly not more important than health. All you need is a good place to sleep at night, someone that loves you and a good meal, and you can be pretty happy, I think.
Clive, thanks very much for having a chat to us this morning.
It's a pleasure. All the best. Bye.
Clive Palmer on the program. What do you think of that? What do you think of his position? Give us a ring, 133 882. It's 9:25. Back in a moment.